Welcome to Moody University Podcast. You gonna learn today. I'm your host, Kelvin Moody, and this week's episode, we will be discussing fatherhood and fashion. Yes, fatherhood and fashion. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I hope you're enjoying your special day, your special weekend. I hope you're enjoying all the spoils that are coming your way because you do deserve it. And just keep doing what you are doing. Our special guest this week is none other than Mr. Stanley Jamison. He is the founder and CEO of J Miles. Mr. Jamison will be sharing with us fashion tips for interviews, for nights on the town, for the boardroom, and everything in between. He will also be sharing his experience with fatherhood. And he will give us more information about his foundation that is going to help bring fathers and sons together to mend broken relationships. So, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Moody University Podcast. All right, welcome to another episode of Moody University Podcast. You gonna learn today. I'm your host, Kelvin Moody, and my special guest this evening, he is considered the styling consultant, the styling guru. He is the CEO, founder of J Miles, and he is here with us to discuss his baby, as we just say, Mr. Stan Jamison. Thank you for joining us, sir.
How you doing? Thank you very much for allowing me to come on.
Hey, not a problem. Now, let's just get right into it. Give us a little background about yourself and how did J Miles come about?
My name is Stanley Jamison, originally from Bakersfield, California. Been out here in the LA area for about 10, 11 years. Came out here to transition from Bakersfield to get an opportunity. Basically, J Miles is a baby of mine. It's actually my son's name is Miles Alexander Jamison. So the name J Miles came from me putting the J in front of my son's name, Miles. So that's where J Miles come from. And the meaning behind J Miles is for distinguished gentlemen, classy, sophisticated women. So that's kind of like what I wanted to bring to the fashion industry and also to consulting, where we could change the narrative of how we look and how we feel about each other as Black men and Black women.
Okay, so you're saying how one dresses can also instill some confidence in how they go about handling their business or their everyday walk of life.
Most definitely. I mean, because you know, if you dress good, you feel good. As Deion Sanders say, you play good. So if you wake up in the morning and you know you put on a nice suit or a blazer, or women put on a nice dress or blazer themselves and look in the mirror, and they say to themselves, I look good, I feel good, so let me go conquer the world.
Okay. Now, who was your influences growing up as far as when it came to dressing, to style, to fashion that you just said? Someone, a family member, friend that you, or someone on TV that you said, yeah, that's that look that I, that's gonna be me. Right. That's how I'm gonna start dressing, prayer. Who was that person or a couple of those people that you said that you kind of modeled yourself behind?
Well, I would say one of the gentlemen that I modeled behind, his name was Woody Wilson. He is you don't say a guru of fashion. This man has made clothes for everybody. I mean, he just did the New Edition tour. Everything that you see New Edition wear, Woody Wilson made. He's a stylist, bespoke tailor here in Los Angeles. And also my mentor, which is Clarence Jones. This gentleman is the same. He's made clothes for, you name it, in the industry, NFL, NBA, baseball. He's given me a lot of knowledge on the the fashion industry, the do's and don'ts. So those are two gentlemen, and also a good friend of mine named Michael Gage. We actually used to dress alike going to church back in the day.
Oh, wow, okay.
But opposite colors, you know. So, yeah, those are the few individuals that I kind of looked after, of saying, okay, these are the individuals that I want to model my look after.
Okay. And I see that you've worked with some professional players for NFL that you've helped style. This is time you can do some name dropping here and share like a few of the stars that we may know that you have got suited and booted, as they say.
One of the gentlemen I styled was Sean Merriam, former NFL player. He used to play with the San Diego Chargers. He had got hired for Fox Sports West. So pretty much a lot of the looks that you've seen him wear in the latter days when he was on the show, I pretty much styled him with, you know. And a couple other gentlemen that's in no longer in the league right now, a friend of mine named Chris Childs, he's played with the New York Knicks back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Kind of gave him an idea of what to wear. Didn't really personally style him, but, you know, he called me, kind of gave him some ideas, and, you know, he went with it. So those are a couple of individuals that I help, you know, with the consulting to give them opportunity to look different in front of the camera.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely. So I've seen you dress, man, mm-hmm. to the nines, man. It's great. So how is someone, I guess, considered like the basic man? Mm-hmm. What suits should we have in our closet? Whether it's a black suit, I've been told every man should have at least mm-hmm. a black suit, a navy blue suit, a brown suit, at least five right. different suits. So if you want to go right. over the basics of what every gentleman should have in their closet for whatever occasion, whether it's an interview or we're going out to party or whatever, what should we have in our closets?
We should have a brown suit, black suit, navy blue, charcoal gray, black. With those particular suits in a tan suit.
Okay.
With those particular suits, you can make about 50 to 75 different looks. Mm. By changing the tie color, changing the shirt, because all of those colors go with every suit.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking about going on the interview. Most people that I see go on the interview, they don't wear white shirts. You never want to wear a color shirt to an interview.
Okay.
You always want to wear a white shirt with a power tie, which consists of a red, blue, maybe a powder blue, but nothing too flashy. But those are power ties that you wear with a charcoal gray suit or a black suit to an interview. But you always should wear a white shirt, black shoes.
White shirt, black shoes. Okay. Now, I know you have, you know, styled like some athletes and everybody in between. So how's the common person like myself that doesn't have a huge budget? Mm-hmm. And knows that, you know what, I'm ready to kind of step my game up, whether it's for interviews or mm-hmm. nights on the town or whatever. Someone like yourself, what does your service offer, and is it affordable for the common man?
Yeah, my service is very affordable. Basically, it's if you come to me and say, okay, Stan, I want to go to an after five event, I would say, okay, first of all, what does your budget look like? And do you want to wear this particular suit after this, you know, this after five event? You may want to take the blazer off and wear it with some jeans. Mm. So you could still wear that particular look three or four different times if you choose to. So I'm saying, okay, what's your budget? What are the colors? So we know an after five event normally is a tuxedo. So we know that's black. if you want to do a double breasted or if you want to do a two button. It just all depends. I've always said I will allow myself to work with anybody with any budget. I won't turn anybody down.
No.
Because okay. you never know who needs your service outside of what they may not have to spend.
Understandable. Yeah, that's definitely a good philosophy to have, and you can still be a blessing to others no matter where they fall on the scale of their
right.
budget.
Right.
What's being the stylist guru that you are, what is the biggest joy that you get out of what you do?
My biggest joy is seeing my work, whether it's on TV, whether it's on a picture, just standing back and just admiring what I put together. And I could just be in the background and say, I had something to do with that look. Not boisterous, just saying, my expertise, they came to me and said, okay, I want you to make me look different. So my joy is to sit back and looking at what I put together. That's my biggest joy.
Okay, all right. And tell me, what is your biggest challenge or, you know, obstacles that you faced in growing your business or styling someone?
The biggest obstacle I would say is some individuals not taking your skill, what's the word I want to use, serious, meaning that they want you to give them something and you just say, okay, well, come on, man, just give it to me, versus saying, okay, you pay everybody else. But a lot of times we don't want to pay us because we feel like we owe them something.
Now, do you find it harder help changing the mentality for young Black men, young Black women, or even older Black men, older Black women, mm-hmm. as far as the concept of dressing appropriately for, like I said, interviews, for events? Is it challenging at times, because some of us have this mindset that I'm going to an interview, I might throw on some slacks, I might throw on a dress shirt, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, that's all I can do, you know, under what I have or under circumstances.
Right.
You find it harder to trying to change the mentality of that. We could step it up a little bit without it costing a hand, arm and a leg, and feeling better about ourselves and going in there and whoever interviewing us, or are we going on that date that they like,
right.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It can be challenging because certain individuals have their mindset on, you know, what they want to look like, how they want to look. So this whole fashion industry have basically turned upside down, because I feel like we've lost our identity as a culture when it comes to dressing. And we as a culture, we've created every look out there, but we've allowed other cultures to strong arm us with their style and with their look, because they're telling us the skinny jeans, the tight suits, the suit pants that are up by your ankle. That's not our look. But we've allowed other cultures to say, no, look like this or you haven't made it. Mm. So it can be a struggle with the young men, because they want to look like that.
Right. Yeah, it's rare. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like guys ain't wearing socks. I was
like, right.
At first I said, where they do that at? Because I...
Right.
Never like dressing in a suit. Can't imagine not wearing socks, but
right.
different times.
Different times, correct. Right. Correct.
So let's transition into the J. Miles Academy. Now,
okay.
Where was that born from? and why do you want to move forward with that? What's going on with that?
Well, basically, the J. Miles Academy is come from my son again, you know, J. Miles Academy. Basically, it stemmed from me as a father not having a good relationship with my son, started when he was 8 months old. So I had a couple of friends of mine about 3 or 4 years ago. We talked about how it could change. What type of program can I put together to bring fathers and sons back together cohesively, like they should be? So I put together a program where it gives a blueprint of fathers and sons coming together. Because we have a lot of fathers and sons that don't talk, that haven't spoken to each other in years. They, for whatever reason. So the program is based on me trying to take it to the level of to colleges, to the prison, to the jails, to after school programs in the school system, to find out how many kids don't have a good relationship with their fathers. I did a research. There's between 65 to 70% of African-American boys that are being raised by their mother.
Wow, that's pretty high.
You look at the number and you say, well, why? I have a survey on Facebook and Instagram. I've asked women only, would you allow, which is a crazy word to use, would you allow your son to go live with his father at the age of 10? Yes or no? Some women say yes. Some women want to give me their explanation on why and why not. I just want to know why. I just want to know yes or no. So you may have fathers that are incarcerated. You may have fathers that said, you know what, I can't do this no more. But there's a reason why a real dad have stepped out of his son's life. So it's time for us to get back to the root cause of, are the women taking the responsibility of saying, well, I'm partially or 100% the reason why he doesn't have a relationship with his father? What do we do? How do we bridge that gap? So that's where the program comes from.
So with the program, fathers are coming in, sons are coming in, whether mm-hmm. the fathers are coming in with their sons mm-hmm. or the sons are not coming with their particular father because right. they have this strain of stress. What is your program going to emphasize? We show up in the building in front of you. Mm-hmm. What can these young men, these older men who are fathers, who are trying to repair relationships with their sons, sons who want to connect with their father, reconnect with their fathers, or try to work through the emotion and all that mm-hmm. other stuff that's going on for all these years. Well, what does your program look like, or where's step one? You know,
step one would be you get all the young men and you get all the fathers in the room. Say we just got five at a point. And we talk to the young boys first. Or I talk to young boys and say, I'm just like you. I was just like you. I didn't have a good relationship with my father. Now I don't have a good relationship with my son. But let me explain to you what I did to overcome that. I had to sit down with my dad. I had to find out why. You may not want to sit down with your dad, but then your dad has to explain to you and you have to listen on why your dad wasn't in your life. Because now you got questions. But it's going to all go back to what did the mom say about the dad, or what did the mom do to tell the son, you're not going to live with your father, or your father's no good. Nobody wants to tell the truth. In my case, nobody wants to tell the truth. But now that my son is 21, he's still angry, but he still don't know the truth. So my thing is sitting down with these sons and sitting down with these fathers, and the father's telling the son, okay, son, this is what happened. I tried to be a father, but your mom wouldn't allow me. So then the kid comes back and say, well, dad, why you didn't fight? Mm-hmm. So then you go back and say, well, I tried to fight. but I still had a problem being a father. It goes out, I keep pointing at myself. I fought and fought and fought, moved to another city to be close to my son, but still had a problem being a father. Most fathers want to be fathers, but there's a reason why they can't be a father. It's not just because they walked out of their lives. Well, I'm just going to not be a father, you know? But then the mom will say, well, if you want him to live with you, where do you live at? Well, it doesn't matter. As long as my son has a place to lay his head and he's not in danger, it shouldn't be a problem. But the father always goes through challenges on trying to, it's always what the mom says. And 9 times out of 10, what happens? The son always goes with who?
The mom.
Yeah. So those are the basis of getting to the root cause of why that son has a problem with the father.
And to piggyback on that, so let me ask you this. At what point, as you said, that your relationship with your father wasn't great until you sat down, had a conversation, was able to ask the questions that you wanted to? How old were you, and what triggered that you felt that you were, I guess, mature enough to say, hey, I need some questions answered. I'm not here to get mad. I'm tired of being confused. Let me go straight to the person. What was there a certain event in your life that happened that triggered to say, let me step up and let me start asking some questions and sit down, mm-hmm. or somebody say something to you? What was it?
This podcast gonna take another turn. When people hear it, well, I was a grown man pretty much.
Okay.
And you know, my dad didn't physically hit my mom, didn't do none of that, but it was all mental. So my mom was a strong woman. Mom and dad has passed away now. I think I was probably in my late 20s when my dad tried to kill me, basically, with a knife. I tell people this story because it can help somebody. So thank God when he tried to do that, ran me out the house. My best friend, which was across the street at the time. When he did that, I was in the process of getting a stick to defend myself like he was somebody else trying to hurt me. My friend across the street, which his name is Calvin Carter, passed away now. He ran across the street and grabbed me and said, don't do it because you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. Fast forward a couple of years through family reunions I went to, I had one of my cousins, which is an elder. He said, when are you going to sit down and talk to your dad and forgive him? I looked at him like, how do you know? He said, I know what happened. So until you forgive him, it's not for your dad, it's for you.
Right.
So at that time, I had to go home, sit down with my dad. I forgave him. A couple years later, he passed away. And look who had to bury him, me and my sister. Mm. So I have experiences to talk to these kids and talk to these adults. I ain't went to no university. I ain't went to no school, which I did go to college. I didn't learn none of this in school. This is all memory and self-talk. And experiences.
Wow. Now that's deep. And it takes a lot for someone to forgive, you know, somebody that's trying to kill them.
Absolutely correct.
Especially if it's your father, your own blood, you share the same DNA. So, I mean, my hat's off to you for taking that step and making amends with your father before, you know, his passing. So that, I'm sure that definitely is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And your story can encourage someone that no matter where the situation is or the relationship they have with their father or son or vice versa, that there is a chance that things can be worked out. Right. So that's a very touching story. So I know we've been kind of, that was kind of deep. So we go kind of lighten the mood. Tell me, who, I know it's hard to target one person when I ask this question. So I'm going to give you three.
Okay.
Who have been the most three influential people in your life? Your top three. I'm sure there might be more than that, but give me your top three most influential people in your life.
My top three would be my mom, Jesse, passed away. My grandfather, which is San, S-A-N, and probably one of my best friends, Michael Gage, which is the one that I grew up with. I would say at this point, those are probably the three influential individuals in my life. Okay. Outside of, you know, my pastor, but those three right there would be very influential in my life.
Okay. Best dressed NBA player you've ever seen?
Best NBA. I got to take it back to Kobe. You know.
Okay.
Kobe wasn't flashy, but when he dressed up, he was clean and you know, perfect lines. As a big man, I would say Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
You know, 7 foot tall, slim, wore his suits very well. Let me see. Right now, oh man, I don't know what these guys are wearing right now. You know,
oh, man.
this era now has basically changed the game on fashion. You know, they out there a little bit more.
Okay.
I think back in the day, and that's basketball. If you want to talk about football, Ray Lewis was clean.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, Deion Sanders, I think he started the trend, you know.
True.
Michael Irvin. He was clean. That's all I pretty much know right now. Big guys in the league? I don't really know too many big guys in the league.
That's all right.
Those are NBA and NFL right now.
Okay. I don't want to leave the ladies out of all this. Who are some of the entertaining women and you know, some female entertainers that we see on TV and the movies? Give me three that you just say their style, the way they carry, where they wear. Yeah, who? Give me your top three of the ladies.
Angela Bassett, that's one. Oh, she clean. Kerry Washington.
Okay. Got one more.
My girl Nia Long.
Oh, all right.
That's I'm gonna put them right there.
Okay.
Top three right there.
Okay, I got you. And if you had a chance, I came to you and said, you could pick anyone, any man, and any woman that you want to style, whether dead or alive. Who would you want to style?
Oh, off top, and I'm gonna get this opportunity. I just keep putting it in the atmosphere. The man, Denzel Washington,
right?
Hands down. The lady, outside of Michelle Obama.
Okay.
We got to throw Angela Bassett back in there. And the other lady that played in the movie Hope. What's her name? I can't think of her name. She plays a lot of Oh man, I can't think of her name.
It's all right. It's all right, man. It's all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. So yeah, those are. Yeah.
Those okay.
Those are the top right there.
Okay. Favorite movie of all time.
Brown Sugar. That's one. But they actually making another one right now. Not Brown Sugar, but the other one with Nia Long in it. What is that song? The one with Lorenz Tate
and Nia Long. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're actually in the process of making another one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number two. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Your favorite adult beverage?
Glen 11 Scotch, 1824.
Okay. Now I know you're a cigar connoisseur, so tell me one, what cigar would go perfectly with that drink? And two, what is your favorite cigar to smoke?
Right now it's a B52. That's it's about yay long, the yellow label goes perfect with that scotch.
Okay, and what is your favorite cigar? Any day of the week, anytime. What's your go-to cigar?
That's actually one of my go-to.
Okay.
Or a cognac blend cigar. Those two are like the go-tos. Any day, anytime. After a meal or whatnot, yeah.
And so tell me really quickly, what got you into cigars and your fascination with them?
Just basically, it's a relaxation, you know, with some good friends. You got some good friends. You drinking a nice drink with cigars, men tend to relax more when they're around their peers and have real men conversations. So that's what really got me into having real men conversations. Where nobody is judged, just like the conversation that we're having a real conversation.
Okay. All right. You can have dinner, have a conversation with one person. Mm-hmm. Just one person that you have never met. That you know of, if you have dinner with them, who would that be?
Well, if you have to go back to my man Denzel, having a conversation with him, how he pours knowledge into everybody that he speaks to, whether he's on stage or individuality, just hearing him speak, you know that it comes from a place where he's learned it, but also he knows how to encourage the regular person. He's not on a pedestal where, what I feel, he's not on a pedestal where I'm better than you. Mm. I always listen to a quote that he said to some kids, because his theater was his first love. And so he always used to say, when you get on your knees, I'm kind of paraphrasing, make sure you put your shoes far under the bed so you got to reach for them. In other words, stay on your knees and pray.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, when he said that, I was like, wow, you know, and that's deep.
Oh, yeah. Very, very deep.
You know, put them on the air real far, because you're gonna have to reach for them,
right?
In that time of need, and you know, I think that's one person that I would love to sit down and talk to, and I'm just be a sponge and just soak it all in.
Okay. Current book that you're reading.
What you say now?
Yeah, what's the current book that you are reading?
Honestly, I'm not. Okay. Actually, I actually was supposed to be reading a book when I went on vacation, but I think she forgot the books.
What book are you intend on reading that you weren't able to read on your trip?
On the next podcast, I'll tell you.
All right. I got you. Okay, well then let me spin it the other way then. Okay. What book have you read that you feel has changed your life for the better?
Actually, a friend of mine wrote the book, and it's called, hold on 1 minute. I'm gonna tell you what it's called. It's called If Obama Had a Son.
Okay.
You know, and basically with all the racism that's going on, a friend of mine, his name was Brandon, he wrote the book. And I asked him, why did he give it that title? And he said, think about it. If Obama, the president, black man, had a son, how do you think he would feel with all this going on right now? When I started reading the book, I was like, so when you look at as a black man and you have a son, look what's going on. And you say to yourself, I pray and hope my son doesn't go through what these other men are going through, what other black men are going through in this country. Getting killed, getting basically slaughtered, or treating them like they're less than.
Right.
So the title, If Obama Had a Son, was, I was like, okay.
So favorite travel destination?
Well, since I just came back from Cozumel, Mexico, that was one. But I think that my favorite one will be the Medellin, the one with the rooms are in the middle of the ocean.
Maldives, yeah.
That's
a good one too.
Yeah, I think that one right there would be my favorite.
Okay.
That I would want to go to, the Maldives.
Okay.
That water, that blue water, you just look down and see. So, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. I haven't been there yet, but hopefully get one day myself.
Yeah, man, you've been traveling, so yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's not about me. It's about you today. So, so the question that I usually start to wrap things up with is this. You have a billboard. It's on the side of the busiest highway in the United States. So millions and millions of people go see this every year. Is your billboard, what's the message you put on your billboard?
Again, it goes back to the brand J. Miles. I think if an individual has seen that and it says, for distinguished gentlemen, classy and sophisticated women, the question will say, well, what is that? Well, let me explain it to you. What a distinguished gentleman is. A distinguished gentleman is when you walk into the room, you don't have to say a word. Sophisticated woman, the same way. You just walk into the room and they know something is different about you too. Whether it's a husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, you don't say nothing. You walk into the room and they say, there's something different about those two individuals. And 9 times out of 10, it's the presence. But it's the way you're dressing and the way you're carrying yourself when you walk into the room.
All right.
So we have to teach young men now, we got to get back to the basics. Open the door, wait till she walk into the restaurant. If you see a young lady coming out, you open the door for her. And we as black men have to stop walking by each other and not nodding our head and saying, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? That only takes 2 minutes.
Not even that.
Not even that, right.
Yeah, this is just say, how you doing? Yeah.
So when you see that sign, that's what all that means.
Gotcha. So if someone wants to support the J. Miles brand, whether it's the academy, whether it's the clothing line, they need some fashion tips from you. your expertise. How can they get a hold of you? Website, email address, phone number, whatever you want to give. Go for it.
Phone number is 909-272-7792. That's a cell number. You can text or call. Website is jmilesimagellc.com. You can go in there and look at some of the things I put together. Some of my fabric for suits for men and women, sweatsuits. Not haven't yet put none of my athletic material in there, but I'm in the process of doing that. I'm on all Instagram, J Miles Image on Instagram. Facebook is J Miles, well, my name's Stan Jameson. That's Facebook. And Twitter is J Miles Image.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, I'm gonna give you the last word. What is it that you want the people to know? Whether it's about you, whether it's about your brand, or your mission statement, what is the lasting impression on this podcast, on Moody University podcast, that you want to leave? Go.
Just basically giving an opportunity to showcase my talent to the world, being able to show individuals that there is other Black men out there that have the knowledge and have the expertise as everyone else. Give an opportunity to say, okay, J. Miles, I want you to get on this project. I want you to be on this show and style everybody on it. What do you need to make that happen?
All right. I appreciate it, man. We have talked about styles. We have talked about fatherhood. We've had the guru on here today, ladies and gentlemen. So we appreciate it. Definitely go out and support my brother, Mr. Jameson here. He is putting some work. The big things are ahead of him. And I'm just glad I have a front row seat to witness the evolution and the revolution of what's about to happen in our communities as we strive to encourage our people and to ascend. So I just want to thank you for your time, sir, my brother. You know, wishing you nothing but the best and blessings, and looking forward to witnessing your success firsthand. And thank you for being a guest. Yeah, thank you for being a guest on Moody University Podcast. You gonna learn today. Here's another episode in the books. God bless.
Thank you very much.
This concludes another episode of Moody University Podcast. You gonna learn today. Thank you for joining us. Feel free to like and subscribe to the podcast. Tune in for the next episode. Be good or be good at it. Peace.